Be willing. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, as his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I want y'all to get something out of this. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. In other words, they were tired, they were exhausted, and they fell asleep. And he said unto them, why ye sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. You may be seated. I'm going to unpeel that for you, because if you just look at those words on the surface, when it talks about pray that you don't be tempted, what he really means is don't you yield to temptation. So I just want to talk this morning about facing temptation. You see, our text finds us at the very night before Jesus is crucified. He has had his last supper with his disciples. He has informed them that one of them would betray him. Praise God. And he had also informed Peter that before this day that you would deny me three times. He'd already done that. And then our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is about to face the greatest temptation, the greatest trial of his life. Jesus had faced many temptations. There's some that were recorded that are vividly in your mind. You go back to the fourth chapter of Matthew, you know that he was tempted in the wilderness after he had fasted some 40 days and 40 nights. But he faced other temptations throughout his life. But the greatest temptation he faced came on the night that he was betrayed and arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, before him was a cup. It was the cup of God's will. And this cup was a cup of suffering. It was a cup of separation. It was a cup of salvation. You see, in this life, we too are faced with temptations, and we will continue to be faced with temptations. It is not the question of if we will or if we will not be faced with temptations, because they are going to come. Oh, you can just take that word temptation and then and put the word trial in there. Put the word praise suffering in there. How many of y'all have already gone through some temptations? How many of y'all have already gone through some trials in this life? Praise God. Sister Jenkins raised both hands back there. Praise God. I could raise two hands, but I got the mic with one. Amen. I've been through some temptations. I've been through some trials in this life. But it's not the question, praise God, of how we're going to face temptations. But the question is how we are going to handle temptations when they come. Because they're coming. And let me just say this to the folk in here who have never had a temptation, never had a trial. All I want you to do is keep on living. Keep getting up in the morning. Praise God. And sooner or later, a temptation is going to hit you. A trial is going to come. How many of y'all got kids in here? How many of y'all got husbands? How many of y'all got wives? How many of y'all got relatives in here? Just keep getting up in the morning. Sooner or later, those temptations are going to come. And if we discover how Jesus handles this, his greatest temptation, his greatest trial, praise God, it will give us a great idea of how we can face them when they come. Because we know one thing for sure. Jesus was what? He was victorious when he faced his trial. And knowing that if we employ the same means and the methods, we too can be victorious when facing those temptations. Oh, I know we can. Hebrew writer tells us, put this on the marquee. Hebrew chapter 4, verse 15. Says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just like we are. Praise God. Yet without sin. What that tells me is that the same Savior that we serve today, he too was tempted on every hand. And guess what? Praise God, he did not sin. So how did Jesus handle this, his greatest temptation? Praise God. Can I tell you the first thing that he did? Praise God, the first thing he did was that he seeked out a place to pray. It's in the text. He seeked out a place where he can pray. You see, Jesus went to his usual place of seclusion. That was the Mount of Olives. And at the base of the Mount of Olives was a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And he went there. As he went there before, he went on this time. In other words, he did not hide. He did not try to cover up. As he had prayed, where he had prayed before was the place that he seeked out so that he can go and talk to the Father. Can I ask a question in here today? How many of y'all got a place that you can go? It might be in your house. It may be a room in your house. It might be setting out your car. Praise God. So that when trials come, you can't sit in the house because others may be in there. Praise God. Making all kinds of noise. But you can go and seek somewhere where you can be quiet. And you can be alone with the Lord. You can talk to him. And guess what? He can talk back to you. Praise God. So Jesus went to the Mount of Olives like he's always been. He wasn't trying to hide anything because he already knew what Judas was going to do. So he wasn't going to try to escape, praise God, what laid before him. He went to that same place. And the only difference, the scripture tells us that he used to sneak off to the Mount of Olives on himself. Praise God. Go down in the Garden of Gethsemane so that he can take some time to seek God. But the only thing that he did this time was that he took his disciples with him. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. There's a reason why he took those disciples with him. Like I said, each of us ought to have a place where we can go. That when we are troubled, when there is a hard decision that we got to make, we got a child who is going through some stuff. We are getting ready to go through some stuff. They're about to foreclose on your house. They're about to repossess your car. But that ought to be a place, praise God, that you can seek, where you can get alone and talk with the Master. Praise God. So that's what Jesus, that's what he did. And when he got to the Mount of Olives, he told his disciples, he said, now I want y'all to start praying. Amen. And he said, now, I can't pray around y'all because y'all might be saying the wrong thing. Yeah, y'all might be praying a little bit too loud.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexander, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina, Alexandria.
Awesome ruler.
Until redeeming.
God with us, yeah. You are tuned into the spiritual part of the broadcast.
But
look,
when we put it all together, this is what we'd like to call you. Jesus, Jesus.
Let's tune in.
That's what
as evangelist
Ron
Bell takes you further.
You were born
to the word
in a
manger.
We want to talk about why it's so important that the preachers and teachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ teach the entire of the full gospel of salvation. Because God himself said that his people perish for the lack of knowledge. So we titled this lesson today, Preach the Full Gospel of Salvation. That's the title of our lesson today. Preach the full gospel of salvation. We know that there are some severe lack in the churches all over the world. And it is the express reason that we're seeing a crisis. I mean severe crisis and devastations all over the world. But it seems like that there is no nation as bad as the United States when it comes to hate crimes and all these assaults and murders on innocent people of color. I mean, we can understand war in countries. We can understand that. But what we're seeing in the United States is high profile. We have become the murder capital of the world. Killings, shootings, mass murders, taking the lives of older citizens, children. It's heinous to say the least. I almost hate to mention the continued wrongful, hateful murder and assaults on black men and black boys. And in some cases, it's increasing. The murder rates are increasing on black women and black girls. I hate to bring it up because everybody has been a victim of hate crime.